Well, and I thought I should explain why my wedding ring is on my right hand this week instead of my left hand. In case people were wondering, I am married. I do have two boys, and Tyler and I were out playing on the slides over here, and wedding rings tends to catch things. And I was going down the slide, and the slide caught my ring and said, "I want your ring," and my finger said, "You can't have it." And so we took a little chunk out of the slide, and the slide took a little chunk out of my finger. So I'm thankful that it wasn't hurt any worse than it was. And so I tried putting it on the other day, and Chandra said I should just put it back on the other finger because I don't know why. But well, it is a beautiful day this morning, and it's nice and chilly. And last week, if you remember, I was really, really hot up here, and I had to take my jacket off, and Wayne McDonald said he was going to sweat me out. Well, this week I come in here, and it's like 40-some degrees in here. The thermostats were still set to cool, and I don't know if Wayne is up to something again, because now I can't take my jacket off. But it's getting pretty nice in here. If you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 46, that'll be the text this morning for the message. And what we talked about last week was prayer, and what we came to the conclusion was that what matters in a prayer the most is the heart, right? It doesn't matter the fancy words you use. It doesn't matter where you pray. It doesn't matter if you're a minister or you're just someone in the congregation or you're just someone who's not even a Christian. When you pray to God, what matters is your heart. And that was the main point that we came to last week. God already knows our needs. We went through in Matthew and we looked at the Lord's Prayer and we broke it apart and we discovered that God already knows our needs. He already knows our wants. And so then the question kind of arises, why do we need to pray? If God knows what we need, if he's got a plan specifically put out for us, and he knows what our wants are, doesn't he just want us to say, okay, God, you've got me, acknowledge that he's got us, and then go about our lives and know that God's going to provide for us the rest of our lives? Some people may be strong enough to do that. Other people, like myself, no. So what does God want with our prayers if he already knows what we're going to pray for? If he already knows what we need, what does he want with them? And what we came to was that prayer is God's connection to us from our hearts to his Son, Jesus Christ. See, he chased after us in the whole Bible from the creation to the fall of man to all of these different things. It's God bringing us back to him. And finally, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it opened up this pathway so that we could directly commune with God through our hearts. And prayer is God's connection to us. In our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, what do they say is the most important thing? When you hear like something like a marriage has problems, or if you're going through a rocky spot, what do people usually say is the problem in the marriage? Communication. It's not always the deadbeat husband. It's just because I couldn't communicate. We need to lighten up this morning. Everybody's just kind of here. Kind of like last. Let's all just laugh. Oh my. If you guys want to hear something funny, I'll lighten the mood. I was visiting Karen Bachman this week. And she informed me that Rick's legal name is Ricky. And his buddies on the squad used to call him Bachy. So I said, "What if I just call you Ricky Bachy?" And then he went one step further and said, "Well, this may be funny too. People used to call me Buffalo." Buffalo Ricky Bobby. So when you see Buffalo or Ricky or Bachy today, he won't know who he is. Just don't call him Rick. He won't answer. All right. Back to the message now that we're all lightened up and smiling and whew, it's good to be here. In our relationships, they say that communication is when communication breaks down is when the relationship tends to fall apart. For a relationship to have love, there must be a medium through which you share and connect. And this makes sense, right? A medium is something to go through. Like if I'm going to communicate with my wife, if I'm going to know who she is to love her, to have it be a love, I have to know who she is. And to do that somehow, I have to communicate with her, right? It doesn't always work with the words. But a big medium between my wife and I is talking. There's other mediums. We can write each other. Body language. There's certain things like, I know Chandra doesn't have to say anything if there's a problem. Body language is a pretty good medium. So it would make sense to say that there has to be communication for a relationship to work, right? For it to be a two-sided relationship, to build a love, to share and connect. And prayer is our medium to God. It's our direct line. And so, of course, no matter how much we feel that God has us, like we said before, why doesn't he just want us to acknowledge that he's got us and go about our lives? No matter how tight he's got us, no matter how much faith we have in God, he still wants that continual prayer every day because that's your connection. That's how you build your relationship. And so that's why we still need to pray, even though he knows what we're going to pray for before we ask for. Our prayers, we also found, our prayers reflect our hearts. And I think this is interesting because I know a lot of people who are pretty good talkers, right? Have you ever met somebody, Rick, I'm sure you have, who knew just what to say to the officer and just what to do? And there's people who know how to be Christians, right? They know the words to say. They know what to say to you to make you feel. We all have done that at some point, I think. I know I have. You just give the right answer, and it kind of smooths people over into thinking something else, but you can't do that with God because God sees into your heart. So as you talk to God through your heart, he's looking into you, and he knows if you're trying to schmooze him over, it doesn't work. Our prayers reflect our heart's condition towards God and our relationship with him. No matter what we try to do, it's still going to come out in our prayers because our prayers take heart. It doesn't take heart to give the right answer to somebody, does it? If I want to make somebody feel good, it doesn't take heart to say the right word if I'm a good enough actor, but you can't do that with God because prayer comes from the heart and through the heart. So I want us to think today, what type of relationship do we have with God? Do we connect daily? Do we pray to God daily like we're best friends? If you're best friends, you're probably going to call your best friend every day. I'm going to talk to my wife every day. Unless something is seriously wrong, we're going to talk every day because we have that strong relationship and we want to build on that relationship. Do we do that with God? Do we connect sporadically? Just to keep in touch? You know, sometimes I've got some good friends from college. They're not my best friends, but we still keep in touch because I want to know how they're doing. They want to know how I'm doing. It's kind of it's not a best friend. It's just kind of a friend relationship. Or do we connect only in need? And I like to think of this as like a business acquaintance because when we've got a lot of bugs in our house, I've got a need to call the bug guy. When we've got a lot of pain in our hearts, when we've got a lot of trials or things haven't been going our ways or we made a bad decision and now we're suffering the consequences, is that the only time that we call on God because it's a business relationship? I'm hurt. God's the healer. I need him only then. Just think about that to yourself. So nobody has to answer. All of these things that we talked about last week, the most important point is that your heart is the most important thing. And the title of the message this morning is There Static in Our Prayers. We're just gonna say we all pray daily. I know that everybody misses a day every now and then. I know I'm known to miss a day of certain prayers. I like to pray for meals and such, but you know what? There can be days that are very taxing, and it just slips your mind. But let's say we all talk to God daily. We all have the prayer thing down where we do it every day. How much static is in the line? What is the quality of our prayer? What's the quality of our prayer now? I'm not talking about how long it is. We're not talking about what you're praying about. We're not talking about what kind of language you pray in or any of those things. What's the quality of the prayer means is what's the condition of your heart? Because if the heart is what the prayer is, then we have to look at the heart to see how much static is in our prayers. And what I mean is, when we're talking on the phone to someone, if I'm using my cell phone and I'm in Clemens, you know, cell phones don't really work in Clemens, do they, Bob? Well, my cell phone doesn't work in Clemens. But as I get closer, if I'm talking to someone, the line will get more and more static until it cuts out. Your connection just isn't whole when there's static on the lines, you can't hear every word. And just as our hearts, if there is a hindrance within our hearts, we're not connecting fully to God. So we have to really look at our hearts, and I think it's really neat when you think about the service this morning, because I didn't talk to Reg about picking out the hymns about prayer. He gave those to me last week before this was laid on my heart. I didn't talk to Mike and Charlene about casting your cares onto God about prayer. God just has a way of bringing things together. Let's read Psalm 46, a very powerful psalm. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. God is saying that no matter what goes on in your life, no matter how hard the earth is shaken or what's going on, he's got you. You are his. Be still. Life is tough. Things happen that we don't control. Sometimes we're hurt. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're bitter. We're scared. We're worn down. And sometimes we're shaken to our core and we're broken. And on the other side of that, sometimes we are so happy and joyful and excited that we can't focus on a single thing. Life causes static in our hearts. God says, be still and lay everything down. All the static needs to be cleared, because until we pray with a clear heart, we're not living up to our end of the conversation. See, God is always there, and he's always ready to receive, and he's always focused on you. And he's calling out to us, I'm here. You be still. Be still and know that I am God. All of those things that are in your heart. The Lord's Prayer talks about forgiving ourselves, asking for forgiveness for ourselves, and then asking forgiveness for other people. And we said that's very important, because if there's sin in your heart, that's static. If you're bitter about someone or angry about someone, that's more static. God desires our true, clear prayers, and that's why we have open worship. The point of open worship is to get out all the static. And that's why we do it right before worship, so that we can get all of that stuff out of the way. It's a time when we can purposely focus our hearts so that we can commune with God. Prayer is not just when you bow your hands and your head and you get down on your knees and you talk to God. Prayer is our lives. Prayer is our music. Prayer is why you're here. Be still and know that I am God. When we take time to center and time to focus, before we pray, it's like we're having a little silent worship before our prayers to make sure that our hearts are clear so that we have a clear communication with God. One thing that I love that my wife says to me when it comes to prayer is, if your heart is unsettled, don't make a decision. You need to keep praying, because there's still something in your heart that's unsettling you. There's still some sort of static in there that you've got to get rid of so that you can clearly hear God. Just like in open worship when we center down for God, so our prayers should be also centered, focused, and real. How often is it that we just say, okay, Lord, thank you for the food? Or you sit down in a prayer and one of somebody's favorite prayer, Lucas has probably heard this one many times, are we thankful? Let's eat. Good food, good meat. Thank you, Lord, let's eat. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those words. I'm saying, make sure your heart is there. Are we thankful? Are we thankful? When we pray, are we rushing through our prayers because we know that we're tired and we got to get up for work tomorrow at 4:30 in the morning? When we pray for our food, do we pray really fast because it smells really good and we got to get to it? Even when we're hurting, it's really hard to focus because life just makes it hard to focus. And God is saying, be still. No matter what is going on in your life, I've got you. You're still in my hands. This is my world. Those are my mountains. Those are my people. And I have got you wrapped up so tight that there's nothing they could do to you to make me let go of you. So be still, because I am God. Understand that no matter what is going on in your life and in your heart, God is bigger. Be still in Him. Once we're focused with God, we can have true communion. And if you are struggling to focus, which I know we do, because I know I do. And if I do, you do, because God made us all equal, right? I know that there are times when everybody struggles to focus because there's something going on. Some things to help with that: read the Bible for a little bit before you pray and center down. Meditate on some scripture. What's your favorite scripture? Just run it through your mind. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the cross. Focus on your salvation. Start talking to God and thanking Him for all those good things. I find that when I'm praying to God, if I just start in with the negative things, I get drawn off to all these bad things. But if I start talking to God and say, God, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, you have done this, and you have done this, and that leads to this, and that leads to that. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my boys. Thank you for this house, and thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the brownies that Ramona brought over. Thank you for the apples. Thank you for the bread that was on my desk this morning. Thank you, God. There are so many things. And that brings me right to God. As we pray this week, our challenge is to make an extra effort to center on God and to give our full hearts to God. Because we know how to pray. We know what we don't need to pray is education. We know that we don't need fancy words. We know that we don't need status. We know that we don't need a church. We know that all we need is our hearts. And let's clear those hearts out this week, and let's do what we can to be still and know that God has everything. Know that God has us.